Dolphins, it's Trevor, it's Avery, it's Pat, it's the citywide special. The Eagles defeat the Cowboys on Thursday night to open the season. Pass rusher Za'Darius Smith is signed to a one-year deal. What was good, what was bad about the Eagles opener?
We're freeballing it here with
freeballing the opener.
It's a Saturday.
Who cares? Look, it's a Saturday. Yeah, it's a Saturday. It's a weird pod after a weird Eagles game.
Mm-hmm.
What else? The Phillies signed Walker Buehler for some reason.
That's weird too.
Aaron Nola sucks, but we're still in first place.
Yeah,
beat the Milwaukee Brewers in a series. That's pretty cool. All that and more coming up right now. How's it going, fellas?
First off, I applaud you for the raw dog in the intro. I think that was honestly better than I anticipated. Pretty good. Started off real hot. I was like, oh,
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, you want to roll that for a minute.
For a second, that fell apart.
Not bad, but yeah, we're here on a Saturday. First Saturday pod we've ever done. A little unique. Hot as balls out right now. Storms are brewing, so it'll be cooling off probably by the time we wrap up here, if I had to imagine. Everyone's healing up from the game. The city was definitely ready for football to be back. Maybe a little bit too much ready because people were getting a little jammed up down there on Thursday night. But feels good. Birds are back in business. The Phillies are winning games and winning series, which I'll take against good teams. Everyone's alive and well and healthy. I really can't complain right now.
Well, everyone's alive and well and healthy, but you and your elbow you were just telling us about before we started recording.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, well, I did get hit by a car last week. But other than that...
sometimes you get hit by a car. Yeah. That's part of life.
That's all. I will say, Bethany Beach, response time, 10 out of 10. They had cops.
Yeah, so tell us more about this, actually, because we only kind of got the Clip Notes version before we started this pod.
I'll keep it short. We're leaving our friend's pool, Craig, who you all know, friend of the pod.
Oh, yeah, shout out Chris Craig, if you're listening.
We're at Chris
Craig's
pool. We got done hanging out with him and his family. It was his mom, Domi's, birthday, so we hung out with them for a little bit.
Oh, happy birthday, Domi.
Coming home from the pool. Actually, it's beautiful because the pool's heated, and usually in the summertime, it's like 90 degrees out, so it's kind of like not ideal after riding a bike to get there because you're all hot and sweaty. But it was 72 in Delaware, so it actually felt nice because it was like cool outside the pool. Anyway, we leave, going down the road, going with traffic, no big deal. And I guess this guy was trying to come into a cul-de-sac and like was only watching the traffic going against him to like shoot the gap. And just completely did not see us and just, bam, got me.
Jesus. Damn. And then you were saying you went flying and, like, you caught yourself with your elbow?
Yeah, I guess my glasses and hat flew off. I landed on my back, but I must have rolled. I didn't hit my head, but I definitely don't remember everything. But now, a week later, my arm is, like, I definitely rolled my elbow, and I can't, like, move it or bend it. But we're healing
up. Was it an expensive car that hit you?
It was a GMC. The guy came out with a Yankees cap and sweatpants. I'm like, fuck, we're screwed. Like, I'm out of here.
I was like, yeah, if you look back and it was just like a Mercedes or something, and it's just like, cha-ching.
I would have milked it. It was a fucking Tesla truck. I'd have milked that bitch. I'd be like, you know what? I will take that ambulance ride. But I got the thing. I'm like, I'm good to go. They maybe give him a go birds to make sure I was okay mentally and then left me out of the ambulance. I said, I'll take that.
Damn, that's two significant injuries happening in Delaware this year. Yeah. And it almost cut off her finger.
I know.
Now this.
Labor Day weekend, Memorial Day.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
It was too
just
big.
Just about.
Yeah,
yep.
Just about, you know. So, but we're okay. And then, funny enough, my brother totaled his car this week. So I had to call my sister. I was like, yo, watch out. The cars are coming out to get us this week. Like, you got to be careful out here.
You're right, man. We did need the Eagles back.
Mm-hmm.
These random acts of terrorism and violence against us.
First thing I thought, I was like, hopefully Hannah's all right. Because I didn't know if she was hit, but she wasn't. And then I was like, if I can't, I better make it to this fucking game on Thursday. I'll be pissed if I'm not going to. That's why I think I avoided the ambulance ride.
Yeah, you don't want to get stuck.
Yeah, I'm not trying to get surgery on a Wednesday before the game.
Yeah, be stuck in Delaware getting your arm operated on. Nah, miss me with that. But yeah, man, glad you're okay. That's scary.
Nuts, yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All good.
Yo, Trevor, have you ever been hit by a car?
Not like straight on, but I've been like sort of like one time I got, I was walking somewhere around here and this lady just like didn't see me, went through the red light and kind of like sideswiped me a little bit, so I kind of hit like the side of the car. It wasn't like straight on, so that wasn't that bad.
It was a little clip.
It was just like, yeah, I just kind of like gave her a dirty look and kept walking. And there was like another time when I was walking down Mifflin, and I was passing like, I don't know, like sort of somewhere close to Michael's place, and some guy like did like just not look at all and just fucking. He wasn't going fast because he was like kind of rolling through the stop sign, but did like make contact, and I yelled some mean things at him and kept walking. But, yeah, I've never had, like, you know, nothing significant, no real injuries.
Full-ass incident report. I got the shit upstairs.
Damn, that's crazy. Yeah, you got to frame it.
Well, I got insurance and shit just in case I go, whatever.
Yeah, like
I've hit a car before. I've never been hit. I was having a kitchen in the parking lot a couple of years ago with my brother, and I was booking it, and I didn't see this truck. I just ran right into the fender, and I put a huge dent in it. My glasses fell off, and I just got the ball, and I caught the ball.
Oh, damn. Okay, you were like Aaron Rowan.
But I left. I'm out. But I never told the guy that I fucked up his car, but it was wrecked.
Damn. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you were on some Eric. That's a deep cut. People don't know about Aaron Rowan.
Aaron Rowan, yeah.
Yo. With the nose.
Before yeah, the pad, that, mm-hmm. Time before the pads.
Yeah, it's wild. They put the padding on like the yep. fence like a week after that, and they were planning to.
They got to do that shit. No, I saw Houston Astros need that. That guy got a gnarly face injury.
He's like out for the season, I think, or like maybe not for the season.
Really, I forget what team it was, but someone ran out to get a ball, and I guess left field or center field.
Remember they used to have that hill in center
field? Yeah, Taos Hill or whatever. Stupid.
They have this like big ass chain link fence and this guy caught it like right on the corner and split his whole head open.
Yeah, he's banged up, yeah.
Yeah, it seems wild that you would not just have...
The team was pissed. They were like, how the fuck is it 2025?
Like after the Aaron Rowan thing, you would just do that league-wide.
Dude, that was like 20 years ago.
Yeah, that was so long ago. Yeah, I mean, they got like, you know, they had to put the netting up. To protect the fans.
The fans
who are too busy looking at their damn phones to see a line drive coming at them. But,
except for that Karen yesterday.
Oh, yeah, we got to talk about that. That was wild. Did you see – I didn't – I think there was one video that was taken close enough where you could actually hear what they were saying, but I didn't see that one. Like, what was –
She was
what
like,
was your claim?
She was
for
like
people, for people who don't know what we're talking about. Last night, I guess it was last night.
Yeah,
right?
Last night's game. Yeah,
who was it? Was it the Bader home run?
Bader hit a home run because he came in the home run.
Guy runs over, grabs the ball, hands it over to his kid, and then immediately some lady runs over and starts yelling at him, and they eventually give her the ball.
Yeah, so like my understanding is, I didn't see the video of her talking, but I saw the video that someone was sitting. Right next to the kid took after the fact when the Marlins staff came up.
Mm-hmm.
They were like, yeah, like, that's not cool. Like, here's, like, a goodie bag with all this stuff. And it's the kid's birthday in a few days.
Yeah, wow.
So, cool. Like, that was cool. But, like, the person that posted the video said, yeah, like, the Karen lady was like, yeah, the ball was, like, under my seat. So, like, you kind of just took it from me. Like, I'm paraphrasing here. Yeah. But in so many words, she felt as though because it was under her seat, it was hers. And that the guy stole it from her to give it to his kid.
It's like pool rules. Like, ball in hand. If you don't have the ball in your hand, it's anyone's ball. And that's literally, like, it's a tale as old as time. The ball gets hit anywhere in the stadium, it's a fucking shit show to get to the ball.
Yeah.
You got dads and moms and aunts and uncles and kids trying to dive after that shit.
Yeah, like, it wasn't like...
There's only three people that went for it. And he got it. Casually walk back to a seat.
I could understand if it was, you know, some woman trying to get a ball for her kid and just some guy comes over and snatches it for himself. That would be shitty. But he comes over and gives it to his fucking kid.
Right.
Yeah, and she didn't have a kid
She just wanted
it. Wanted it.
Totally, insane behavior.
But kudos to the dad, though, for being chill. First, he, like, squared up. He was like,
the thing he did with his hands was so bizarre. He was like,
I was like, well, this is interesting, but... Then he did. Kudos to him for being the better person and giving her the ball.
Yeah, just being like, I don't want this to become an incident.
Like, the kid's traumatized. They pulled
him
back.
I'm not trying to be in the news.
Out of his kid's glove to give it to this bitch. And then, the Marlins, you know, I guess event staff came over, gave him a little basket. But then Harrison Bader gave him a signed bat.
That was cool. That was
cool.
Really
shit.
Yeah.
So, like, they made up
worked
tenfold.
Out good for him. Yeah,
that's just good karma right there.
Yeah, this lady's been getting blasted on Twitter.
Oh, my God.
Every time I open Twitter, like, there's people, like... Like Mets
Why
fans,
would you do this?
And like
people aren't even Phillies
every,
fans.
Yeah,
talking shit
everyone's
about her.
Blasting her. Like
it's all over the place.
Mets fans, like this guy I follow for fantasy football advice, was blasting her. Like NBA, like Twitter was blasting her. Everyone's blasting her, but deservedly so, dude. Were you watching the game? Ruben was blasting her. Ruben called her a Karen. I was screaming, dude.
That's so funny.
Ruben was like, "Oh, Ruben was like, "That's Karen behavior right there."
The one good thing I'll give him this year, I'll give him that. Yeah, well, we can agree with Ruben. Yeah. We're like, all right, wow. Okay.
But yeah, like, that was asinine, man. Like,
it's just silly. I mean, it's a rare opportunity to be able to catch a ball, right? That's everyone's dream of, like, catch a ball in a ballpark. And, like, the game's a game. If it hits the floor, it doesn't matter where you at. Like, it's just whoever grabs it, grabs it.
Yeah, it was in, like, I mean, obviously it's the Marlins Stadium. Stands are pretty sparsely populated, so it's like every ball there's going to be a scramble for it. It's probably not going directly at anybody.
If I was him, I would have just thrown it into the fucking field. Then I'd be like, "Oh yeah, you want this ball?" Then
you would have lost their mind.
See how bad you want it.
But yeah, so the other funny thing is, like, the person that posted the video that, like, was the Marlins event staff after the fact. They said, so if someone asked her, like, yes, or him, I think it was a dude, whatever, neither here nor there. Someone asked the person that posted the video, like, yeah, so what did the rest of the game, like, what did everyone do? Everyone booed her profusely. until her and her like her embarrassed significant other left.
I think they had to leave the game.
They left early, even though the Phillies were whooping ass. You would want to stay to watch the end of the game, but after that, man, you got to get the hell out of Dodge.
Like, well, you called for a fucking ball.
Yeah, and not even like Harrison Bader. We were just talking about how good he's been. We'll talk about him a little bit more in a little bit, but like it's not like you're catching like. I don't know, Bryce Harper's 400th home run.
Right.
It's a Harrison Bader home run, It's not the end of the world,
in fucking Florida. You're not, you know, bottom of the ninth in the NLDS and you get the Schwarber mm-hmm. home run. You get just a regular season home run from a regular player. Like, it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
Newly acquired guy. Damn. No kids. That's the fucking bitch.
Yeah, that too. Like, I always debate this, right? When I go to a game, last Phillies game I was at, I was in home run territory, and I'm thinking, yeah. If I catch a home run, like this little girl next to me, like I'm probably gonna give the ball to her.
Yeah,
like straight up.
Once you're an adult, I feel like you kind of have to.
Unless it's a significant home run, like if it's World Series clinching home run, like Bryce Harper's like Bedlam at the Bank home run. If I caught that, hell yeah, I'm gonna keep that. Right. But a relatively inconsequential home run.
Yeah.
No, like give it to the kid.
A random game in early September, you get the memory of like, damn, I caught that ball, but like you don't. You know, you don't really need that ball. Brandon Marsh hits you a home run on a random Tuesday night in early September. You're like, that'd be, you know, more kudos to give it to the kid because they're going to remember that then and like care about that ball.
Exactly.
But the catching is like that's the memory of like, oh shit, like, that's fucking sick.
And then finding out after the fact it's little man's birthday, like, give it to him.
See, but you also hope that, like, if you do get the chance to catch the ball, I've always had this in the back of my head that you can catch it in a cool way. Like, I don't want to be, you know, the viral person that, like, gets. Falls over a chair trying to catch the ball.
Spills your whole beer.
I'm trying to like palm it and then chuck my beer or catch it in my cup. Like, I don't want it to be a sad catch. I want it to be a good, memorable catch. There's a lot that goes into it if it ever happens.
How close have you ever gotten to catching one?
Never.
I've
seen one go in front of me like a
couple
rows.
Yeah, I've had a couple of, like in my section, but I've never. I got a ball like when I was a kid. I got one handed because we were in like the seats right along the baseline. And, like, one of the umpires actually handed me a ball. That's the one time I got a ball when I was, like, I don't know, probably, like, 8 years old or some shit.
Yeah, so I was at, I guess this would have been 2009. It was, we won the World Series in 08. Pat Burrell was on the 08 World Series team. He went to the Giants. I was at his first game back as a Giant in Philly, sitting in left field, maybe about five or six rows up from the flower bed or whatever. And Pat Burrell's in left field. This game was funny, actually. People were heckling him the whole day. Like, they're like, Pat, I'll buy you a hot dog. You're fucking drunk. They were, like, messing with him the whole game. But his first at-bat, he comes up, and he hits a dinger. And he hits it to left field. And it's coming right to me. I have my hands out like this. Don't you know the dude right in front of me? Like, it was a hell of a catch by him. He puts his hand all the way up, and he catches it.
Damn.
You
know?
But I was so ready.
That's why you got to use your palms. You can't be masculine. You got to be out here.
He threw it back. It's like, dude, it's Pat Burrell. He just won the World Series with us last year. You're going to throw that back.
Damn.
That's the closest I ever came.
Yeah, I've had stood-up worthy balls, but I've never... Not catch.
It was literally right radius. In front of me. Like, if I would have pushed this guy, but I'm not an asshole like this Karen lady.
Well, speaking of catching balls and that thereof, or lacking of catching balls, we lucked out late in the fourth quarter with CeeDee Lamb dropping all them balls, helping the Eagles secure that victory.
Yeah, that could have been a very different game.
How about that?
But yeah, I mean, I guess we can talk about the end of the game. We got to talk about the beginning of the game.
Beginning in the middle.
Dude, this is the first 6 seconds? The first play.
Yeah.
Ben Van Sumer and. Well, shout out to him. That sucks, man. But he tears his patella tendon.
Out of the season.
Which, I don't know if it's like a, like, you know, of all the players that could have had a season-ending injury, I don't know if it's like the most impactful. It just sucks that, like, he was such a, like, kind of funny story last year in terms of, like, you know, utilizing a fullback and, like, his kind of...
He was a linebacker.
His path to the NFL and, like, finding a way to play for the team. So I was rooting for him that way in, like, a Rudy sense, I guess. But, like, at least it wasn't, you know, it did suck. But it's not like we lost, like, you know, Jahad Campbell or anything like that in the first play.
But, yeah, like, that happens. And he tore his ACL and missed most of last season, too. So, like, it's like, damn, I feel for the guy. And, I mean, they did run a lot of formations that they would have used a fullback in.
I mean, the place was electric. So, prior to the kickoff, They did the whole like Super Bowl things. They pulled the trophies out. They did all this shit. They had the Eagles flying around. Everyone's getting all buck. It felt like a big playoff game environment. The lights show and all this shit. Kickoff happens. They got the Rocky music. Everyone's all excited. And then it was like 2 minutes worth of confusion because he's getting carted off.
Yeah, it was
the
chaos.
Offense is coming, or the defense is coming on the field. That little scruffle happens with Carter and Dak. Then you see Big Dom get on the field, and everyone's just like, what the fuck? Like,
yeah.
For only one play that happened, everything that unfolded, the stadium, it all the energy was out the window.
Dude.
Like, had no one got hurt, had Carter not done that spit job,
Sumering got hurt.
The place was fucking loud. But as soon as that happened, we sat down that first. Like, nobody, we were all just defeated. Like, everyone's like, well, what? Like, well, that's fucking odd.
It was like, just, it was just the like, most bizarre sequence of events, yeah. Right? Like, you kick the ball off, and, like, you see Van Sumeren right away. He, like, knows it's serious, and they bring the card out. And unbeknownst to pretty much anyone, this whole thing with Dak.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yo, we got to talk about Dak, dude. I, like, after the game, like, I was home watching his, like, him address the media about, like, this whole situation.
Spitgate.
Yeah, we'll call it Spitgate. I think that's what it's being called around, like, these parts. But yeah. He addresses the media. And he's making it seem like he had no idea what was going on. He's
nah,
like,
man, yeah, he like, rage baited the shit out of Carter.
He's such an asshole, mm-hmm. dude. He's like, yeah, like I spit 1,000 times a game, and yeah, I thought he was trolling. He was trolling the rookie, and so I came back and told him to leave the rookie alone. But then if you watch the video, Dak spits in his direction.
Yeah,
and he's like egging it on. He's like, yeah, yeah.
I mean, honestly,
it's on Dak's part. I respect.
Veteran move. Like,
I get it.
He baited him and he took
the bait. He's playing chess.
Yeah, he got rid of our best player.
He's
on
playing chess. We're playing checkers. Carter is, and he knows Carter is a very reactionary player. Like the guy isn't, and you lose a lot. You know, Brandon Graham's not there. You're losing a lot of senior leadership on that team. Like, yeah, I'm glad that we have a young team, but this is kind of the shit that. Is the downfall of having an average age of 25 or whatever we have, where like there's not a lot of senior leadership on that team.
Yeah, I mean,
like no one's holding him back. Jordan Davis should have grabbed him before he walked over there into that huddle because he didn't just spit and hit him from a distance. He was
he went right into that fucking huddle. Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Someone should have been like, dude, that's all.
I mean, if any Eagle did that and got a player ejected, I'd be all for it. But Dak's just an asshole, man. Like
he picked our best defensive play. The thing that they had to scheme about, and they got that was a total advantage the rest of the game.
Yeah, Dak did go as far as to say that. He was like, yeah, like, hell yeah, we get a free 15 yards, and yeah, that changed the way we called our protections as an offense, and it kind of made our life easier.
Yeah.
So in a sense, it's like, I get it.
He thought they were just going to get that 15. He didn't realize he was going to get kicked out.
Yeah, he did go
that's
on to
what
say.
I thought at first.
Yeah. I thought it was ridiculous at first.
Because, yeah, I didn't realize that he, like, straight up spit on it. And, like, yeah, and I was just like, ah, whatever, that's worth the 15 yards. Fuck it. Like, I love the nastiness. And I realized he got kicked out. I was like, okay, maybe that wasn't worth it.
I saw him walking on the sideline back to the tunnel. I'm like, that's a little odd. Like,
yeah,
because you couldn't, at the time, no one.
Some people were probably worried that he was, like, hurt or something. Like,
he didn't know what happened.
He, like, spit and, like, pulled
so
something.
Weird.
My mom was like, oh,
yeah.
There's Carter. I'm like, why is he walking with Big Dom? Like, he's smiling. So I'm like, maybe he, like, twisted his... Like, nope, it was such a... But then they put it on the big screen. You're like, oh, my God. Like, it's a fucking loogie right to the fucking chest, like, in the pads.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that, you know, but... I mean, stupid play. I think it should just stay at a... I think the ejection was a bit of an overstep, to be honest with you. I think that they could have just called
yes
it...
Yes and no.
He didn't smack him in the head. He didn't punch him in the face. Like, I get that. It's bad and it's disrespectful. But, like, first game of the year, you're 5 seconds in. I think it's a bit of a exaggeration.
Well, I talked about this
Devontae Smith got spit on, and that guy didn't get kicked out.
Well, I talked about this last year on the pod. The over-refereeing of really all sports... It's gotten too soft and, like, not to be, like, all boomerish and whatnot, but it's like, dude, let them play a little bit. At the same time, Dave Kiss, he and I were texting about it right after it happened, and he said, yeah, I mean, it kind of is the equivalent of punching someone in the face.
No, I think on the street, disrespect-wise, yeah, like, if you get spit on.
But how's it any different if it's on the street versus the football field? Like, Dave...
Well, you're going to be all wet and sweaty anyway, getting all fucking whatever.
I get that, but, like, it's still the ultimate sign of disrespect to just hock a loogie on someone. Like, Dak didn't actually
but there
spit
was a, he,
on him.
But he did spit at... He essentially was, like...
In his general direction.
Like, but... You make eye contact with someone and then spit at the ground in front of them, you're
Carter's
pretty much
was,
being like, you're a
Carter's
fucking
bitch. Carter's was more blatant in that...
Well, yeah,
the ref was standing right there.
I get that.
And, no, don't get me wrong. I defended it for... Most of the first, like, half hour after it happened. Then I kind of just came to the conclusion that, no, it's a good, it's as much as I hate Dak, it's a smart move on his part.
Yeah,
Carter's got to keep his cool. And
he rage baited him in an emotionally heightened game. I mean, the players must have been fucking amped up to be back in Philly to play in front of the crowd, right? You got the banner dropping. You got Dallas. It's a big week. We've been gassing this up all week. And it's just a young man's move to do that.
You can't be spitting on
people. There's no senior locker room presence. And we can touch on this later, but I think the addition of Za'Darius Smith, whether or not production will be helpful, I think having a old head in there will help keep some of these young bucks a little bit more grounded and centered.
Yeah.
We can touch on that acquisition
We'll get to that. But yeah,
I think that the Carter spit and that whole call, though, was a catalyst to the rest of the way that game went. The first half.
Absolutely. Yeah.
First half, I mean, scoring at left and right, no defense was really playing great at all on both ends. I mean, every drive was either a touchdown or a field goal. But a lot of other calls as well, and I hate being like a ref kind of poignant that way, but like, a lot of calls that were calling the birds were pretty sus. That Nolan Smith taunting one.
Oh, yeah.
That was hard.
This is the other thing, too, is I feel like you always see this kind of stuff the first, like, 3-4 weeks of the season. Because it's always like the refs are trying to, like, set the tone and be like, you know, we're not going to tolerate this season. And then, like, 5 weeks in a season, they're, like, they're letting that kind of stuff go.
Because once they see Sunday slate.
I think the Nolan Smith taunting thing was ridiculous. But I feel like week 5, that's not going to call.
Had he done an actual move, I would have been like, okay, I get that. But he literally just flexed, like,
yeah,
I guess he flexed it over. But, like, it wasn't even that big of a deal.
Yeah,
the pass interference down the seam on the right side of the field, that was a big third and eight.
Quinion.
No, yeah.
On George Pickens.
Oh, my God. That was terrible.
Yeah, I thought that was ticky-tack. I think Pickens was kind of initiating.
And that led to a touchdown, though.
Yeah, I think Pickens was initiating just as much of the contact. He does that a lot.
He fucking threw someone to the ground later in the game and didn't get any call.
Yeah, like, he led the league last year in offensive PIs as a receiver. So
it was just, I mean, it was a frustrating game. I left when that storm thing hit because
Thank God you didn't stay?
Thank God. I saw all the points that were going to get scored anyway. And I worked the next day. Like, it was 24-21 or 24-20 going into the halftime. By the time I left, the score didn't change. By the time
it was almost over. The fourth quarter.
Yeah, it was 4 minutes, 4-something left.
And I had done that last time. When they beat the Patriots in 2017 when they won.
Yeah, they had the same shit happen.
2018 Falcons game got delayed through a lightning storm. I've been done that. Like, I'm not doing that again.
Damn, I was kind of excited to hear what you did during the rain delay. But I guess
I hopped on the subway, went to Brothers Sue and finished the game.
Yeah.
So I finished at their brothers, which was fun. But like, I've done this before. Like, they're not selling beer anymore. I'm sitting here for a fucking hour and a half.
They aren't selling beer halfway through the third quarter.
Well, I already have my two beers for the third quarter. But like, I'm gonna wait for an hour. It's gonna be over, and then the fourth quarter's gonna happen. I'll be thirsty again. That's all.
Gotcha.
And God forbid they fucking lose. It's a close game.
Which they almost did, but yeah. Yeah. What else we got to talk about from this game? Hurts looked fantastic.
Hurts was great.
I think it was a very – I wish that the delay didn't happen because it was a pretty good showcasing of both quarterbacks. I think that, I think
Dak Hurts looked good too. I'll give him credit. Yeah,
I think Hurts being labeled as like a not top 10, not top 5, like everyone in the offseason is like, is Hurts a good quarterback? Dak coming after a big comeback year after all those injuries he had the year before. He's still a solid quarterback. I think we got picked apart. Adoree Jackson, we can touch on that. He needs some fucking work, or I don't know why he's on the team. But Hurts killed it. And what was he, 19 for 23 or 23 for 27?
He was 19 for 23.
Three of those were throwaways or drops.
No, two of them were throwaways and one was a drop. He had one real incompletion the whole game. That's crazy work, man. And,
no dumb sacks. He didn't take any big hits.
Nah, he had like one sack that he took the whole game.
Yep.
That was his only negative play. Every other play was positive. You can make a case, some of those plays are very positive where like he completed a pass to Kylan Granson for a yard. Mm-hmm. Or not even, it might have been 0 yards, but it's just like
the Jahan Dotson bomb.
That was crazy.
Third and six, third and eight.
Yeah.
He said, fuck it.
Yeah.
I got him.
And apparently it was a similar play design to the dagger in the Super Bowl.
Definitely.
And so it's just like, I'm not worried about him at all.
60 yards on the ground, like two tutties.
If you were to just look at the box score, you'd be like, oh, he didn't really do that much. But if you actually watch the game, man, he was so masterful with like calling the protections, and then when the protection broke down, some of those scrambles were back.
Yeah, I haven't seen him scramble like that in a long time. Like, that's like the best he's looked on his legs in a long time.
I haven't seen him run with confidence like that, to your point, and smart. He didn't take any hits when he ran.
No,
and when he did run, he had five 5 yards every time with no one in the vicinity of where he was going.
Yeah, the Cowboys were playing a lot of man.
Yeah.
And then when they were playing zone, the corners and linebackers were way down the field. So he had plenty of time. Yeah.
Whenever I look at Jalen Hurts' stat line for every game, he's not going to have a lot of 300-yard passing games, even not a lot of 250-yard passing games. But in totality, between the 60 yards on the ground and the 180 in the air, he had a phenomenal game in terms of
and the two TDs. You can't forget
that. Moving the ball around. Which we always say, he just does enough to win you the game. Yeah. He doesn't do anything. He didn't turn the ball over. Didn't do anything stupid. He gets what you got to do. You run the ball here and there. Shipley looked great. There was one run I thought that shit was Saquon.
Yeah,
I was Shipley.
That one was wild, dude. Shipley looked awesome.
So the team itself, and it's to Trevor's point too earlier, it's week one. There's a lot of – they didn't play really any preseason football. It's a very emotionally heightened game. So – they can say they're calm and whatever, and Hurts can say his little fucking weird thing and all these things, but they're all yipped up trying to play in front of Philadelphia that way against Dallas.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think they handled it well. Yeah. The second half was just bad on both sides. But that delay, I think, fucked them up.
Yeah, I think the delay took a lot of momentum out of both team sales. Going back to the Eagles' offense, I'll give Dallas some credit. Dallas played good defense. I don't ever really want to give the Cowboys much credit.
They had a good game plan going into it. But, yeah, I mean, I feel like Hurts reacted well to it and just – took what they gave him, wasn't trying to force anything. That's why, Dallas Goedert had, seven catches or whatever.
Yeah.
Right.
They were kind of playing that soft shell, not really allowing a lot of deep balls. And the one time they did have, the one time they were just doing, maybe it was just, cover one or whatever, that was when they threw that bomb to Dotson.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, the whole game, I think, was great. Hurts was really just surgical, taking what they gave him. And making it work, doing what you got to.
I think secondary is scary. I think Dallas is going to be better than maybe we anticipated, I think, right?
They can score points. Yeah, that offense is good.
Their offense is going to be decent.
That's that's probably one of the best wide receiver duos in the league at this point. I mean, mm-hmm. There's probably only
a couple
that are ahead of them.
And they have a top, the kind of similar situation with Eagles potentially right now, right? Where Jake Ferguson is a top 10, maybe top 15 tight end in the league when given the opportunity. Because he's torn us up a couple times here and there when we played him recently. So I think that they have a very good offense. Their O-line looks better than I thought as well.
Yeah, their O-line looks solid in that game.
Which is probably why we got Za'Darius Smith in terms of bolstering up our defensive front for pressure purposes, especially with N'Kobe Dean being out and things like that. But our secondary has some work. I mean, I don't know how Dorie Jackson got the number one slot over Quinyon because he got cooked. And everybody else was three attempts, one catch, 10 yards. No one got beat like that. But CeeDee Lamb could do whatever he wanted to against Adoree Jackson. And it was only for his drops that we won that game.
Seriously, if he catches any of those balls in the fourth quarter, we're done.
Those four drops he had were crucial third and eight, fourth and eight. Wide, it hit him right in the fucking hands. That last bomb, he had burnt Adoree Jackson.
He even beat Cooper DeGene on one of them.
Yeah. I mean, granted, that last play that he – that was that would have been a pretty amazing catch had he made it. There's a couple other ones he definitely should have had.
Yeah, he's got that ability, though, to make those outstanding catches. He's their A.J. Brown version.
Right.
And, we lucked out for sure for some of that, but I'll chalk that up for week one jitters. We didn't look great last year until week five after the bye.
Right.
So
I'm
happy we got a win. A win's a win in the NFL. We'll take it. An emotionally heightened game. We got a big, huge test against the Chiefs, but I think the team looked good. I think the defense has some works. Jahad Campbell.
Yeah.
Looked.
Dude, both linebackers. Sam Bond were off the chain, dude.
We got essentially another Zach Bond in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
The way that he did that Tampa 2 drop back to cover the
tight end.
Yeah,
that was crazy, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
Him and Bond.
Step for step.
Him and Bond kind of made the same play.
Yeah.
Dude, that was crazy. Yeah.
They had a bear formation in the front. You had five guys lining up like they were going to blitz. And both your linebackers chased the tight end 30 yards down the field.
Hold up. We got to talk about Miles Sanders getting caught by Zach Bond.
No, that was funny.
Dude, how are you Miles Sanders and you get – Zach Bond is
an 22 miles an hour hit.
An all-pro level linebacker, man. But, you're Miles Sanders. You're a running back. You're supposed to have this breakaway speed.
Yeah.
You get caught
running
by him.
Running is in the name of your position.
Right. And then the next play, he fumbles.
Yep. Oh, well, that was classic. That was – I called that before the game. I was like, we're going to get at least one Miles Sanders fumble. That's what he does. And he did do that shit.
Get this. We're a human robot. As soon as I saw the formation, I was like, oh, we're going to pop that ball out.
Mm-hmm.
I seen Miles Sanders back there. I was pop we that know ball out.
Bitch ass.
And then right after that, literally 10 seconds later, the ball's on the ground. Mm-hmm. So, no, but Zach Bondman, like him and Jahad Campbell.
Well, Jahad forced the fumble on that.
Yeah, he's the one that got credit with it. Yeah, which at first it looked like it wasn't, but yeah, he did actually get his arm in there and pop the ball.
But either way, my point is that the linebacker play, like when N'Kobe Dean comes back, what do you
they're
do?
All of a sudden, they're very deep
like,
at linebacker.
Oh, wait, we're a linebacker depth team? Like, this isn't happens if we had, like,
always a step ahead.
This is the last time I remember the Eagles having even remotely, linebacker play even remotely close to this good, and not this good, is you're talking like Carlos Emmons and Jeremiah Trotter in, like, 2003, 2004.
I was even having Takeo Spikes and Trot before Trot left us.
Oh, damn. So, yeah.
But, like, old head Trot, like, the dude was, the breaks were, maybe even... Maybe I would touch. They weren't even that great, but they were solid for Eagles era. Would be D'Amico Ryans and Jordan Hicks, rookie. Like
that's true. They were good.
They were a good duo.
Yeah.
And yeah. Michael Kendricks up in there, but we haven't been known for like people weren't afraid of our linebacker core since Trotter.
It's been like 15 years.
We've had every year like interchanged. Like Michael Kendricks had a great standout year. Hicks had one good year.
Nigel Bradham had one good year.
Like Zach Bond had. With the Kobe Dean last year, a very good year, all pro, damn near defensive player of the year.
Yeah, both of them were really good. Yeah.
But then, you know, the Kobe Dean's injury plague always happens. But he comes back, takes the pressure off of him. He can be rotational. He don't have to play every down or play a lot. So that should help his health in terms of playing linebacker.
Yeah, honestly.
And Trotter Jr.'s.
It's going to be interesting. The Eagles might end up playing base a little bit more than you would think. Or, well, you know what they'll probably do?
They're playing bear a lot more.
Yeah, exactly. They'll have the five-man fronts a lot more where you have one of them guys rush.
Right, because you're not having fucking Brandon Graham drop back to cover a tight end. You're having young, youthful, athletic players run back
Probably what they'll end up doing. They'll play more. They can get away with playing more base. But, yeah, to your point, they'll play a lot more.
Because even like Nolan Smith can drop a coverage. He can cover a tight end here and there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, all in all, good victory. The offense looked clean and smooth. They did what they had to do to win. I'm not concerned about the A.J. Brown one target, one catch, 8 yards. How do you feel about that?
I want to bring this up because a few people that really understand like coverages and understand route concepts in film kind of did some videos. Like Sean Syed did one. Fran Duffy was talking about it too. It kind of seemed like the game plan didn't really favor getting A.J. Brown the ball. Like Sean Syed posted like this 15-minute video on Twitter, and I watched all of it. And a lot of what the Eagles' offensive game plan called for was a lot of in-breaking routes when Dallas is playing a lot of, like, quarters and cover three coverage where the middle of the field is blanketed.
Yeah.
And it almost seemed like, again, Kevin Petullo, it's his first regular season game. It's kind of preseason for him, too, yet. Like, he's still trying to figure this stuff out, but it kind of just seemed like he had a so-so game as a play caller where he wasn't really running the offense to get A.J. Brown the ball. Now, it worked. Like, Jahan Dotson had his game. Like, Dallas Goedert had a decent game. Like, Saquon had some receptions out of the backfield. At the end of the day, I don't want that to be a game plan moving forward. Kind of just seems like that's what they did. They took what the defense gave him. It worked out. Fran Duffy was also hypothesizing that he thinks the hamstring is bothering A.J. Brown a little bit more than probably A.J. Brown will tell you. So time will tell on that. But overall, I'm not concerned about A.J. Brown from a player standpoint so much as there's really mild at this point, really mild concern about Petullo as a play caller. It's one game, so I'm not going to overreact. But, I mean, for the game plan to not really feature either of your star receivers, I'm looking at you a little bit. Again, not the end of the world, and I'm not panicking, but I think the game plan didn't do our receivers any favors.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it was a vanilla play call. I think that, to your point, you know, first game, a lot of build-up. He's familiar with the players, though, too, so it's not like it's his first, like, you know, in-the-building game. Like,
sure.
He's been around these guys the whole time. But I think this is something that I think this team does now where, like, you look at, like, the Brady and Randy Moss era or the Brady and Gronk era, Pat Mahomes when he had Tyreek Hill and Kelsey. Those teams came in offensively with a game plan. Andy Reid always had like 15 plays to go to start the game off, whatever. They were going to beat you through the air.
Yeah.
They didn't care about running back. Like they were going to throw the ball no matter what you put at them. Where this offense operates really the last couple of years as a see what the defense does first. And to your point, like you said, take what they give them. Well, like, if you block the box, we'll throw the ball. If you cover up whatever, we're going to then run the ball. We're like, that's why Hurts got 60 yards on the ground when he needed to. I don't think that they're not going to force plays or try to make shit happen. They're going to do their checkdowns, march up the field, probably dink and dunk if they need to, and that's how they're going to beat you. So
I agree with most of what you said. They did take what the defense gave them, like I said. They definitely had an opening script that was different from the way they ran most of the rest of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the opening script, you're seeing under center play
action. Yeah, a lot of under center.
You're seeing strong eye and weak eye formations. Once Van Sumeren got hurt, you still had someone in there playing fullback in the backfield. You're running under center play action. Hurts is coming out from under center and then scrambling. There was a little more creativity. You saw more like three tight end sets than I think we've seen the Eagles run in years. And once they got off the opening script, I think they kind of got away from some of that. Fortunately, Hurts was warmed up and was able to carry the offense from there. I just think that, especially late in game two, Petullo got too conservative.
Oh, yeah.
Right, so yeah, my point is that he had a so-so first game. He did some things good. The opening script was strong. Calling the play to Dotson was a good call. Mm-hmm. Like, some of the concepts and stuff that they ran worked. But you have two-star Pro Bowl, all-pro caliber receivers that he didn't really make a point to get involved. I hope he does things differently next week.
I'm sure he will. We got a big game.
He's learning yet.
So we both picked that. I think all three of us picked the Eagles to win week one.
And watching Kansas City last night, I'm not changing that. They look ass.
I didn't have to drink piss, so we're good to go that way.
Yeah.
Wasn't a blowout like I thought, but Mother Nature and Jalen Carr not being, I think, were probably the two biggest
odd circumstances. Plus, division games is always,
Opening tough night. Yeah, there's a whole lot of weird stuff going on.
But we move
on. It
was
just a strange game.
But I think we move on to KC. I like the Za'Darius pickup, the Za'Darius Smith pickup that we did. I liked him last year. 9.5 sacks, I think he had. Something around there. Veteran presence, I think, is the real key here for me with this pickup. I'm not expecting him to come out there and produce a lot. He's 32 years old. He's in great shape. I get that. But I think that it helps to have sort of an older head mindset on the team that is very young and immature with the spit shit and all this other stuff going on.
So I think he actually is going to contribute. These are his stats last year, man. He was good last year.
I know, he killed it.
He had 63 pressures, so that he ranked top 20 last season in these stats. This is according to the 33rd team. He had 63 pressures, 12th, 46 hurries, 7th, 9 sacks, 18th, 15.9% pressure rate, 16th. He will bring his 69, nice, career sacks to Philly.
Oh, yeah.
So I think he's going to ball out, man. Especially you consider who are edge rushers in that game.
Nolan Smith,
Jalix Hunt, and Josh Uche. They didn't register a single sack.
Now, that O-line stood up.
Again, giving Dallas credit, this is the third time I've given Dallas credit. Jesus Christ. Oh, what is wrong with me? But anyway, now, give Dallas credit where credit's due. Their offensive line played a hell of a game. There's the one clip going around of one of their Tyler dudes.
Smack him in the head.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
But someone did that last night, too, at the Chiefs game.
Yeah, I think as long as it's in, the focus of the game, it's fine. So, their offensive line stood up and played pretty well. But
no Carter, though.
Yeah, I was going to say, having Jalen Carter definitely.
Right. It's a huge help. You put Jalen Carter out with Za'Darius Smith and Nolan Smith and Jordan Davis. That's a pretty good.
That's what I'm trying to say is, right, if we have him on the edge, he kind of takes that BG or Josh Sweat role.
That's what I'm saying,
He's the vet. You have the young Bulls, Nolan Smith and Jalen Sun on the edge. You have Carter and Ojemo. Jordan Davis had a hell of a game, too.
He did have a great game.
Probably one of the best games he's ever had.
And played the full entire game.
He played a lot of snaps,
too. Yeah, I think the most snaps he's ever played.
So, he looked good, too, running out that tunnel. I said, damn, all right.
So I think that's a sneaky, huge pickup. I put it on the level of Ndamukong Suh and Linval Joseph a couple years ago. It's that level of impact.
I thought that, too. And that's what I'm saying. The veteran presence goes across both ways, right? Not just to keep the team mentally checked in that.
I think he's going to produce,
but also be able to give them tips and tricks. He also played with, Aiden Hutchinson last year and that great defensive front for the Lions. So, he's been on great teams.
Yeah, he was with the Browns last year. He played with Myles Garrett.
Yeah, he's been and he's produced everywhere. And he's got a good mentality. You never hear anything crazy like a Jed Devian Clowney where there's weird beef with us and the Birds. I think this is a very good pickup. I like him a lot, and I'm excited to see what he produces to the team going into the Chiefs game next week.
Yeah, so I guess we can talk about that game a little bit. I did not think Kansas City looked good at all last night. Like, I went to bed
I didn't see much of the game. I went to bed in the fourth quarter.
Dude, they look kind of like...
It's the most dysfunctional... Andy Reid has been known to be like a offensive-minded head coach, right? Somewhat of a guru in terms of the shit that he does, right? He kind of reinvigorated the West Coast offense after Bill Walsh and all that in that era for him, early 2000s with the Birds. This is the most unorganized team I think I've ever seen Andy Reid coach. You got guys running into each other, knocking each other out. Like, yeah. You got Mahomes doing stupid fucking passes that work out, but like you're...
Mahomes looked really good last night. Yeah, I wouldn't say anything about him.
I'm not saying he's playing terribly. I'm just saying, like, he does shit that... Sure, it looks great, and it works for them, but it's not like an Andy Reid buttoned up, like, we're going to go out there and play football. He's not doing backward passes. He's doing, like, falling over, shovel pass kind of shit just to, like, get shit by. Like, they're squeaking by trying to get to the win. Well,
I mean, that's how they made it to the Super Bowl.
But
that's
they're
why
not like a normal Andy Reid, no, like, schematic. No, like, we're going to do some crazy-ass fucking formation and bury you all day.
Well,
like,
that's why we felt confident going into the Super Bowl last year, and it's kind of carried
and
over.
And their defense looked like shit, too.
I mean, yeah, Justin Herbert's carving them up.
Quentin Johnson was out there catching ball. The man found his hands.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Keenan Allen's ageless. He looked great last night, mm-hmm. too. But, no, I mean, that's also a division.
Kelsey looks old.
It's a division game. Weird stuff can happen, for sure. But, yeah, their O-line didn't look great. Kelsey looks, although he did look pretty good on that long touchdown reception. But, for the most part, they just don't really look that good. No, I mean, yeah, it wouldn't make sense that their window's closing. How many Super Bowls have they been in? How many times have they,
five?
Their window has been open for, the last 5 or 6 years?
I mean, they've
even owned, though you have a franchise quarterback.
Yeah, they've been the AFC championship.
Yeah, their window hasn't been open. They've owned the house for the last six
years. That's true.
Like,
yeah.
They are,
but it
like,
makes sense that, they, yeah. It makes sense that
they are the window.
Like, it makes sense that that lease is running out now, yeah. Right? Like, so, I don't know. I still think that we win. We win.
It's like the lottery curse. They hit the lottery. They won all those Super Bowls. They're good to go. And it's like, now you're like, oh my God, well, now I'm getting divorced. And my kid's addicted to crack. And like, I have to buy a fucking Honda Prius now or whatever the fuck it is. Like, now I'm broke. Like, this is it. This is like their downfall here. They're about to be back in the trailer park where they started.
I think that window's closed. Mm-hmm. I don't know who comes out of the AFC. We'll see. But, I don't know. I'm feeling pretty good about next week.
I'm not going to lie. I said this at the beginning of the season. I said the NFL looks pretty jammed up across the board. Well, like, it's open for anyone right now. Right? I think that we're in a good spot in the NFC to be jumping in there. But there's not a lot of great – Mahomes is still a phenomenal quarterback, still top three quarterback. I'm not knocking him at all, or Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson, all those guys. But you look across the league, it's a lot of unproven guys, a lot of young guys that are like – still building out their trajectory, and a lot of teams that kind of aren't in a right way.
So what do we make of this? We haven't talked since this happened, since the Micah Parsons trade. What do we think that does for Green Bay?
I mean, it's great for them. I mean, it definitely. I feel like they're the even given some of the issues that we saw with the Birds on Thursday, I still think that they're tops in the NFC. But I think the Packers are right under them now. I don't think, before that I would have said the Rams, but then you have, like, Stafford's health is kind of like, who knows. Even though I'm not, like, a huge Jordan Love believer, I still think he's good. I think he's really good, but, Micah Parsons is one of the best defensive players in the league. That's a huge, huge pickup for them.
I think they have a shot to lose in the division around the playoffs again. Like, I think that that's what it does. They'll probably have a really stingy defense. You know, I mean, the Lions' offense is still pretty electric.
Mm.
Player-wise, you might not have Ben Johnson anymore, same players, so we'll see how they adapt to that. I think Micah presents definitely an intriguing addition to that defense. But the Packers, I don't ever really fear them when we play them, because Jordan Love, I'm not sold on. I think he's a solid quarterback. I'll give him that.
Yeah.
But, like, it's an odd, like, the receiving core is kind of intriguing. Like, do you have an elite receiver one, or he's just the guy? Like, they don't really have that. Their run game is okay. I mean, Josh Jacobs killed it last year. I think it was the year of like transitioning running backs, right? Like Derrick Henry, Saquon, Josh Jacobs. They all had phenomenal years going to a new team, which was fun to see. But I don't know. It's a tough division up there, NFC North.
So, yeah, yeah, that's the thing. They play in a tough division where they're going to beat each other up.
I think it's also good for us.
Dude, I'm not really sold on Matt LaFleur.
No,
he turtles up too much.
That's true.
When the moments are brightest, he always turtles up, and that's cost them in the playoffs.
Home in San Fran, home in Lambeau Field with the snow, with Aaron Rodgers still on the end of his prime, with Devontae, like, you got everybody there, and you lose.
Yeah, no, I'm not sold on them. So, yeah, is Micah Parsons a great player? Yes. Is he going to make a difference in that division race? Yes. Could they win the division? They very well could.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I'm not sold on Matt LaFleur as a coach, and I'm really not sold on Jordan Love.
No. And honestly, they're lucky. Like, see how tomorrow goes, but Minnesota is a fuck up away from being a potential deep run playoff team as well.
Dude, they have a really good
coach. If J.J. McCarthy, though, does half as good as Sam Darnold did last year, they're also going to be tough to beat a lot.
Dude, they have two stud receivers, probably one of the better coaches in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Their defense has been strong for the last few years.
Yeah.
It's really just the quarterback's a big question mark.
Like, J.J. is the only one that is a little bit of a question mark. But, like, yeah, Micah, and he's great at pass blocking, so that helps in that division. It's a very pass-happy, like, even Jahmyr Gibbs is mostly catching balls out the back, but he does run here and there, but it's mostly you're dealing with Amon-Ra St. Brown, you're dealing with fucking J.J., you're dealing with...
Yeah, Jameson Williams, like...
D.J. Moore, or...
D.J. Moore and Caleb Williamson,
and Aduze, or whatever the fuck his name is. Like, that whole division is very pass-heavy, surprisingly for a cold-weather team. But we'll see. I don't know. I think at best they lose in the NFC Championship game. At worst, they lose in the divisional game. But I don't see them winning in a big game.
Yeah, no,
they'll get into the playoffs.
Yeah, I'm definitely not one of, like, you know.
They're not Super Bowl.
You keep seeing all these like so-called experts picking them to make it to the Super Bowl. That I don't.
No,
I'm not.
They didn't get Reggie White. They got a phenomenal player. I'll give them that. He's a game changer here and there, but he's not an everyday game changer.
Yeah, I mean.
He's not. They keep being like, last time they got a guy like that, it was Reggie White, and we went to the Super Bowl. You guys got to like calm down a little bit.
I'm going
to
give the Cowboys credit. I'm going to give Jerry Jones credit. He said, "Yeah, Mike has never really like been a difference maker for us." And you think about it, like they haven't won shit in the last like 20 as long as I've been alive. No, it's like they won in the early 90s. As long as I've been watching football, the Cowboys have never really been that good.
No.
And yeah, I mean, Micah was supposed to be a difference maker. And yeah, did he put up numbers? Yes. Did they lose in the playoffs? Yes. So, like, Micah's a very good player, one of the best edge rushers in the league. He alone doesn't take what was an above average team to a contender. He just makes them.
But then they had that terrible game against the fucking Green Bay that year when they went and they lost. With a big
They lost to Green Bay.
That 50 burger at home in the playoffs.
Yeah, when Jordan Love was putting up.
Year. Like, their offense was, Dak Prescott was damn near MVP. Micah had 12 sacks. You had fucking Diggs with, 10 picks or whatever.
So he got them there, he
didn't
pick them. He didn't take them over the hump.
Because he can't play offense.
Right.
It's just Dallas has always been that, like,
but
they don't know how to figure out both ends of the field. They either have a lockdown defense or a phenomenal offense, but they can never have both in meaningful games, similar to what you said about Jordan Love in the playoffs. Like, yeah, is he a good quarterback? For sure. But when the lights shine bright and everyone's watching you and there's only six teams left in the NFL, I don't really trust that.
Yeah, I'm making the same point about Micah.
Yeah.
In the playoffs, right. Like, Micah chokes. So, like, yeah, I ain't scared of them. I still think that, I don't know, I don't want to get too far into this. We should move on to the Phillies shortly.
We'll talk when we play Green Bay.
But, never mind. I was going to say, I still feel like the Niners, but this whole Christian McCaffrey stuff's pretty cloudy, so.
We'll get to that later. But Speaking of Green Bay, though, and Milwaukee and all that, great series wrap-up we had against the Brewers.
Yeah.
So, another series win.
Good series. Could have possibly swept them if it wasn't for Aaron Nolan being
terrible.
Oh, my God.
First inning, dude.
Yeah, we don't need to belabor the point with him. We talked about him a lot last time.
Yeah. This team is interesting. Where I think that there maybe the consistency is there if you look at it from a step back, right? Like maybe game to game they seem inconsistent, where like maybe they'll score 12 but then they score 2. But when you look at their full like series record, terms of like games where there's been like three games or whatnot.
Oh, winning series. Yeah, they have the best win. Yeah. They passed the Brewers for most series one.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's like that's all that in the playoffs, that's all that matters.
You just need to win series.
Right. If you can keep doing that, like that to me is the biggest takeaway of what I've seen since the All-Star break, where they're kind of hitting their mojo here. Schwarber's still the man. They're kind of gelling on offensive wise. Defensively, work on some shit. Pitching is a little hit or miss, but you get the series dub. That to me is all I care about. You take three, you take two or three, you take three or four, you know, but they don't come out just winning one game in Milwaukee. They come out winning two, and that's a pretty big jump.
Yeah, yeah. After Aaron Nola kind of just got destroyed in the first inning of that game, they showed some fight in that game.
They almost came back.
To be fair. And then to come out in the second game and Ranger kind of just pitched his ass off. And that defensively, like Harper's making great plays, Trey Turner's making plays. That series really had a playoff vibe to it, man. Watching it, it's like, yeah, like this is playoff baseball. The crowd's into it. That first game of that series was bonkers, dude. When they came back from like being down 5-0, that game was nuts.
Back and forth,
dude. That was playoff intensity. So yeah, I feel pretty good. I feel very good about this team. Yo, I got to talk about this real quick. So the 4 home run game for Schwarber.
Yeah.
This was so funny, man. So, like, y'all know I was on vacation. I was out in the Midwest. So the night of the Schwarber home run game, I was at the Chicago White Sox game. So the White Sox, this was an experience, actually. So the White Sox, like, they play in the south side of Chicago. The Cubs play in the north side. And Cubs fans tended to be more the more bougie, like, yuppie.
Mm-hmm.
The south side of Chicago is working class as hell, man. So, like, me and my boy Justin, we show up to the game. Shout out to Justin and his beautiful family. And it's a giveaway night.
Oh, hell yeah.
So we're like, damn, it's giveaway night? Did you know this? Like, he asked me, like, the morning of, you want to go to this game? I'm like, yeah, I got nothing going on. Let's go. So it's giveaway night. And I'm like, damn, what are we getting? So we walk up, and it's an Ice Cube bobblehead. And I'm like, what the hell does Ice Cube have to do with the White Sox? He's just wearing a White Sox cap. So then apparently it was like African-American, like, not Heritage Night, but it was like African-American something night. So, like, I guess Ice Cube, pretty goddamn black. So we get Ice Cube bobbleheads, right? So then, like, we get to the game, and the White Sox are playing the Yankees, and they're getting their asses whooped.
I'm sure.
They're getting smoked. But then this dude on the White Sox hits a grand slam and it's a game again. But meanwhile, the whole time we're at this game, like me and Justin are watching the scoreboard. He's a diehard White Sox fan, but like he's invested in the Phillies doing good because he knows that I'm cool with that. And we're watching the score of the Phillies game and we're seeing like, yeah, it's like 8-1 or 8-3 Phillies, like 10-3 Phillies, 16-4 Phillies.
Mm-hmm.
So then like we're just watching on our phones each time Schwarber hits a dinger. He's like, yo, Schwarber just hit another one. Real Muto just hit one. Harper just hit one. And we're having more fun watching the game, the Phillies game on Instagram, like as we're just watching all the highlights, than we are paying attention to the White Sox game. We're sitting there when Schwarber hits his 4th home run, man. I kid you not. We just both started cackling, just like cracking up laughing. The White Sox are down like 9-4.
Yeah.
And I'll give credit to White Sox fans, man. They stayed.
Yeah,
the whole time.
They support their team out there. Yeah. Chicago's a good sports city like
that. Yeah, like the White Sox are really bad, but they didn't care, man. They were still there, but we're sitting there. We're just cackling, having a good time watching these highlights of the Phillies game. That 4 home run game was crazy. He had a chance to hit the 5th.
I know. Well, they said he went to the batting cage like to warm up a little bit, and he asked someone like, oh, like has anyone ever hit 5? And no one answered him, and he was like, fuck. And he was like, I should have asked that
and then
question.
He said
then he goes up the bat, and he like hits a fucking blooper.
Well,
he's like...
He said, yeah, like, I always struggle against position players pitching, which I guess it probably is kind of weird when
you don't know what's coming.
Well, you're used to, like, 90 miles an hour on the pipe, and you get, like, a 65-mile-an-hour just, like,
no name ball, just a ball.
The dude just throwing, like, having catch with his dad, and, like, he's just trying to get it over the plate. Like, you're not used to, like, that speed.
And then he just popped it up.
He's like, I could have waited on it a little bit. I'm like, God,
yeah,
man,
imagine
okay.
if he would have hit his 5th dinger.
He was the first one.
Of course, everyone would be like, well, it was against a position player,
right.
blah, 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 but...
But there's
dude, it's so funny that the Braves have given up two. They've had two of those games this year where they gave up 4 home runs to a single player.
Who was the other one?
Who was the other one? I forget, but it was also against the Braves this year.
It could have been that dude from Seattle because he had a 4 home run game.
Oh, Cal Raleigh?
Yeah.
The big dumper?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was the big dumper.
Pretty sure it was, yeah.
Yeah, the big
Earlier
dumper.
In the year that happened.
Okay.
But because there's only been, like, this year has only been two.
Yeah, it's only happened twice, and there's both against the Braves.
It's only happened, like, 20-some times ever.
They're just feeding the home run race. They're like, all right, well, who we got next? Otani? Okay, here we go.
Otani, he might, if he still plays the Dodgers, maybe he'll have a four home run.
Yeah, but you know what was fucked up, though? The next day that I hate about that series against the Braves, because they had Apple TV on 2 days, or they had whatever the announcers were, maybe ESPN had the next day game.
ESPN had the Sunday night game.
The disrespect that guy had towards Schwarber in the MVP race was incredible.
I was driving back from Chicago.
He was like, he's like a fringe. He's like, you know, I mean, Shohei's running away with it right now, and Schwarber's like kind of in the conversation. And the other guy was like, kind of like, he just hit four home run. Like, what do you mean? Like, he is in the MVP race, and he is essentially.
Yeah, I haven't looked at the odds in a while, but I imagine it's like probably still Shohei.
After the four home run,
I don't know, man. The numbers are
after the four dinger game. I was tempted to look at the odds and throw a little money numbers, on
RBIs. What else? Like Shohei.
I mean, I think it's just hard for a DH to win.
But dude, Shohei hasn't been that great.
Shohei's a DH. Yeah. Isn't he a DH too, though?
He's a DH, but he pitches.
But then he pitches.
But he barely. He started pitching again. He hasn't been great.
He hasn't been like his like lockdown Shohei. He's been like, you know, a couple here and there, but he hasn't been doing his normal Shohei shit. I think Schwarber should get it. Fuck that. At his age.
I mean, yeah, you could. There could also be the old voter fatigue.
You know? Well, I think we're biased, obviously, but like,
It's hard to evaluate. Honestly,
I'm trying to take the bias out, but like looking at the stats alone.
Schwarber has like 30 more RBIs. They're kind of close in home runs.
And they play the same fucking game.
Yeah.
He hasn't pitched that many games.
I mean, and the Phillies do have the better record.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, you could certainly make the case for Schwarber. And, like, I will. Like, I will.
He better be in the top two of voting.
Dude,
but
baseball media loves Shohei. I mean, it's, yeah, I don't know.
Whatever, man. Fuck all those old white dudes. But either way, the Phillies are up right now. They look great. I feel confident about this team. To be honest with you, we really took this fucking Wheeler hit in stride.
Yeah, they've been playing really good baseball since then.
I was really expecting a regression in terms of pitching and just morale and team and all that stuff, but you wouldn't even notice he was on a team or not right now.
Nah,
to be honest with you, like it's unfazed.
Well, you would notice it when like every fifth day, like whoever took his spot isn't pitching as well as him. Like, I guess that's.
But it's not like a. I mean, you're winning series left and right. You're playing great teams and hitting very well. That's the thing, though. This team's been built to hit, not to really. He said at the beginning of the core of it, it was built to be a hitting team. We've added pitchers throughout Harper's tenure to help get them to where they're at now. Lizardo, Sanchez pitching his ass off, all this shit.
Yeah, Ranger.
But, like, this team's been fucking crushing balls lately, you know, which is great to see. We're waiting for this moment, and they've taken this Wheeler loss effortlessly.
Yeah, my guy Max Kepler, dude, stepped up again last night. Had a great
game.
All
the new guys, man.
Harrison Bader, we said we were going to talk about him.
Harrison Bader and Duran, like, that is, it's, what's it called, Dombrowski's best free agency acquisition or whatever it was, a trade deadline.
Last year our big acquisition was Austin Hayes.
I think just in recent memory and total of this team, like
Dombrowski's biggest I'm going for it off trade deadline.
Let's not give him too much credit because there were the Jordan Romano and Joe Ross signings.
Listen,
right?
I'm not saying he's perfect.
As far as the deadline.
I'm not saying off-season
leaves something to be desired.
Okay, as far as the deadline's concerned.
I'm saying, hey, listen, we have a chance to go somewhere. Let's make an in-season move, and these are the moves that you make. That is a phenomenal fucking move right there. That's all I'm saying. And they're both producing. I mean, Bader hadn't had a triple all season, has two already with the Phillies.
Yeah, no, he killed it. Bader's robbed a couple home runs.
The Crab Man, baby.
Yeah, yo, when he does that little walk backwards, yo, it cracks me up every time.
They say, why'd you get that in there? He goes, watch this. I was like,
he's a hell of an outfielder.
He's got a weird kind of swag to him. He reminds me of like an 80s style baseball player with the fucking mullet and like kind of stocky and like kind of.
He's a little goofy.
He's
for sure.
Got a little weird,
with like the weird purple arm sleeve. Mm-hmm. It's like, dog, you're wearing gray and red. Nothing matches with that. But
I
like
the goofy energy he's got.
Nah, like he brings. That's the thing. I was texting my uncle. Me and my uncle were talking about the Phillies this morning, and I text him he texted me. He was like, yeah, like the Phillies outfield's finally settled. I'm like, yeah, Bader brought them so much energy that this team was just missing.
Mm-hmm.
Like I won't call it like straight up swag. Like the way I've been saying, this team needs swag. They got them Duran though. But,
big time.
Like, Bader brings some energy that, like, this team just needed. Like, not that mopey, like, casty Alex Bohm energy. Like, Bader's just upbeat. He's just happy. He's ready to go out and play ball, and he shows it every at-bat. He's swinging hard. Like, he's energized. Like, he's running the bases. He's making crazy catches.
He's faster than I thought he was.
No, he's really athletic, dude. Yeah. Like, he's probably a step down from Johan Rojas defensively. But he's more than makes up for it with his offense.
Definitely. It's all we were asking for. We're like, yeah, we get, you know, Rojas is great in the outfield. But, like, god damn, if you were just a 200 hitter, we'd be okay with that. But, like, the guy was just trash at the plate.
Like, Rojas was like a 200 hitter, but he had no power. Whereas Bader, you're seeing him bring the power. Like, he's seeing doubles, triples, not grand slams, dingers. Like, he's raking a little bit. To my uncle's point, the outfield's kind of settled. You got a platoon in left with Marsh and Weston Wilson. Webb Brandon's been hitting good. Then my guy Kepler, man, another nice game last night. He gave another great interview, too.
He's a very good public speaker.
I really like him. Like, it's crazy, like, the 180 I've made on him, where, like, when he was complaining about not getting enough playing time, I was like, you don't deserve it. Now that he's playing well and, like, he's had his little redemption arc, he deserves the playing time in right field. Castellanos has been kind of dismal. Yeah.
Are outfielders the divas of baseball?
Probably.
Maybe, yeah.
Think about it.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, shortstops, like, middle infielders. But a lot of times, that's a gritty guy right there.
I feel like they're more like the cornerbacks of
baseball. Yeah, no, they're a gritty dude.
Where, like, outfielders remind me of, like, the receivers of football.
Yeah,
like,
I think that's a very apt comparison.
Harper, at his core, is a... Yeah, outfielder, Harper's an outfielder. He's definitely a diva.
Yeah, yeah. Who else?
Cassidy's kind of a bitchy an outfielder. Diva. You look at it across
Pat
the Burrell, board.
He was kind of a diva.
He was a diva for sure.
Jason Worth, yeah.
Diva.
Trying to think of more current game outfielders. Mm-hmm. Who are the outfielders for the Mets?
Juan Soto, dude.
Yeah, he's
diva.
A diva. Ronald Acuna Jr.,
yeah,
total
diva.
Come on now. Yeah, that's an apt comparison. So, yeah. But now we got some dogs. Webb Brandon's a dog. He's always calling people dogs. He'll be barking sometimes. Bader's got that dog energy. Kepler's a nice German shepherd, you know what I'm saying? Like, he doesn't have dog energy, but he's a dog at his core.
I think he's more of like a miniature pincher, like a little mini, like a little dachshund that
way. But he's kind of a bigger dude.
Maybe a wiener dog.
He's kind of a Doberman. He's got Doberman Snowler. Energy.
Doberman's more...
He's kind of regal looking.
They're kind of aggressive when they need to be, but most of the time they're just very uptight.
And they're
quiet.
Regal dogs, and Kepler's a good-looking man.
They are German.
Yeah. Kepler, he's a good-looking man. He's got some regal juice to him.
Yeah. Cassie's like a fucking Labradoodle.
Yeah, he's a Labradoodle that fell on its head too many times.
Yeah.
He's not doing too good, but...
But I feel good about the state of the Phillies.
Yeah. No, I mean, this is pretty much all you could ask for after the unfortunate Wheeler news. You know, it seemed like things could really go south. There's a huge kind of blow to your morale and all this stuff, but people have stepped up, like Sanchez. I mean, it still looks like we have two pretty solid ace-level starting pitchers.
I feel good about the rotation.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's obviously still sucks. Like, you wish you had that guy, but it's not been as devastating as we thought it would be.
Had we only had, like, Ranger and Nola and Wheeler, that'd have been a big hit. But, like, yeah, I mean, Lizardo, you never know what you're going to get, but when he's good, he's good. When he's bad, he's shit. And right now, he's been good, so, like, that helped. Sanchez has been playing at a Cy Young level. And, you know, everyone else has been doing their job.
Yeah, and the bullpen's been good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when the offense is playing, to your point, too, like, yeah, Nola gave that 5-run first inning against the Brewers, but there was a chance for, like, they tried to come back.
Yeah, they played good baseball after that.
So it is what it is. But, you know, they beat up on bad teams, and they hang with it with good teams, and that's all you can ask for in September in baseball going into the postseason.
Yeah. What do we think of Walker Buehler? I got some opinions, but I want to hear y'all's first.
I mean, I guess I don't know. I mean, I guess it's kind of like a no-risk potential safety net sort of thing. I don't think it hurts us.
I'm indifferent toward it.
I hope that we don't get to the point where we need to count on Walker Buehler for anything, but I don't know. I mean, I guess it's nice to have depth. Yeah. It's always nice to have depth, but I hope we don't need it.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of where I'm at. I made this I made this comparison, yo. This is cross sports comparison. It's the equivalent. What the hell was that?
Oh, that was my computer. I forgot to put do not disturb on. That was my email.
Oh.
I could edit.
Yo, have we gotten any emails?
We just got one.
I think that was my email.
Yeah, have we gotten any lately?
I don't think so.
Man.
Walker Bueller was like, hey guys, I heard you guys.
Yeah, Walker Bueller.
Yeah.
Yeah, he wasn't. He probably wouldn't understand the cross sport comparison I'm about to make, but it's the equivalent of the 2018-2019 Sixers signing Greg Monroe, which isn't good. It's like, to Trevor's point, I really don't want to rely on this, but at the end of the day, I mean, he was bad for the Red Sox this year. He had like a 5.73 ERA, had a 16% strikeout rate and a 10% walk rate.
Yeah.
He's walking 10% of the batters
he's facing.
That's ass, dude. So, like, I will say that the Phillies have generally done pretty well with pitchers that, you know, are not really that good. They come in, bring them in, and rehabilitate their careers. Look at, like, Jeff Hoffman, for example, is a prime example of that. Or even Taiwan Walker last year or this year.
Even Robinson, a more recent though, too. Example.
Huh?
Even Robinson, too.
Like, yeah, Robertson, like, he's old and, yeah, like, he's still performing
Pedro
well.
Pedro Martinez.
Yeah.
I mean, Pedro, yeah, way back in the day. So, like, the Phillies were, like, their pitching staff and their coaches, maybe they coach him up. But, yeah, I'm not particularly optimistic that he does anything. He's supposed to start for them on my birthday, actually, on September 12th.
The 9/11 game.
It would be great for him to come out and really kind of have fixed some stuff. I think he's starting today for the Reading Phils or the Lehigh Valley Ironheads.
He'll be starting for us in the Phillies suit. But is that, yeah, an indication of that they don't trust bringing up Matt Painter yet?
He hasn't been good.
Painter,
yeah,
right?
No, Painter, he's gotten roughed up a bunch.
Been shooting,
yeah,
the bat. I think
they're going to leave him down.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that is an indication that he's not ready. And also, what Dave Dombrowski said is that, yeah, Bueller, has he had a great year? No, but he's a playoff performer, and that is true. He's won two World Series, so they might be looking at it as playoff experience.
I mean, like, adrenaline, too. Like, I feel like playoff-wise, like, it is a factor for pitchers.
Sure.
When you look at, like, that'll be the biggest indication of can this team not bat an eye losing Wheeler, or, like, Wheeler in the playoffs is, in the regular season, he's always flirting with the Cy Young Award, but Wheeler in the postseason is damn near fucking perfect. And, like, that's what you're going to miss him.
Yeah.
Like, you hope that you get the same kind of Cy Young caliber season that you've been getting out of Sanchez. You hope that Ranger has a good day. You hope Nola just doesn't do enough to fuck it up too much. And, you know, you hope Lizardo doesn't get his fucking balls caught or whatever it is, like giving any tails and stuff like that, because he's a hit 50-50 guy.
Yeah.
But Wheeler in the postseason was probably our only pitcher we had that was like, oh, it's going to be a low scoring game.
Yeah, he's
like,
money every
if
time.
If we lose, yeah, it'll be 1-0. If we lose, it'll be 2-0. Like, we're okay. And his velocity would go up. His strikeouts were insane. I mean, I think even up until last Wednesday.
Oh, shit. Bryce Harper just hit a 2-run bomb. The game just started. Phillies are
even up until last Wednesday, though, he led the league and led the NL in strikeouts still.
Yeah. No, like, I mean.
So you're going to miss him. I think postseason is a big miss. I think, to your point, the new cat we got could help out, fill that void. But that just hit my head, too, of, like, his just postseason stats.
Well, yeah. So, like, the thing with Walker Bueller and why I made the Greg Monroe comparison is because, yeah, I mean, when the Sixers brought him in, it's like, oh, yeah, he's a proven backup center. We won't really rely on him too much until it matters. And when it mattered in that Toronto series, the Game 7 specifically, Embiid had to play like 38 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
The 10 minutes Embiid sat, the Sixers got outscored by like 20 points.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if we're relying on Walker Bueller to start a playoff game or to come out of the bullpen and pitch meaningful innings in a playoff game, I'm fearful that it ends up being very similar to that Greg Monroe Toronto series in 2018-2019. Hopefully I'm wrong. Hopefully he comes out.
I feel like this is just the sort of thing where you bring a guy in who, I mean, he has been successful in the past, and it's just sort of a dart throw. Like, maybe our coaching staff can see something that the Red Sox staff didn't.
Which I'm not ruling that out either.
Which, yeah, who knows? But, you know, it's not really costing you much, and, you know, who knows? Not expecting anything. Hope we don't have to rely on it. But it's like, you know, you never know. Like, they could see something and be able to tweak something and have them be effective again. And then all of a sudden you have, like, a nice little piece for the playoffs. So, Yeah. Certainly can't rely on it, but
zero, don't hate it.
It's no risk.
Oh, I don't hate it. You know? I don't have a whole lot of high expectations. But wouldn't it be something if we play the Dodgers in the playoffs and he owns them?
Yeah.
That'd be great. I think that's everything on the Phillies, right?
That's all I got on the Phillies.
Yeah, hold up. We got to talk about FanDuel.
Bail us out, man.
The rides, dude.
In the most Philadelphia degenerate way.
Yeah, that would only happen here, I think.
Yeah. Would be, no one else, I mean, to have, they're like, how can I get all these degenerates back down to South Philly? And the FanDuel's like, we got you guys. Don't worry about it. It wasn't going to be Comcast. It wasn't going to be Wawa. It was.
Do you know what I think?
FanDuel.
You know what else I think it is that the live casino that is down there is all FanDuel.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, we need to get those motherfuckers to the casino.
No, that's a lot of what it is. Yeah.
It's just like, exactly. So
they probably gave out little like stipends too. I mean, I took the subway, which was great after work. Well, during work, I went down there, but got down there just fine. The subway was running. I was happy.
You get any free FanDuel coupons?
Fuck no.
Damn. That'll be the next thing.
It's that is going to be the next thing.
Put the big QR codes up there. Get free $5. Come on now.
If you get a day pass for SEPTA, you get a free $10 bet on FanDuel.
Or if they track you blipping in, you should get a free like $5 deposit from FanDuel.
Yeah, a $5 bonus bet.
Yeah.
If they can track your location. Hey.
That's all I'm saying.
I'll ride SEPTA all the time. There was
there was a chick on the subway when I was going down to the game at 4 o'clock. She was there with her girlfriend, and they were like talking all this shit about like, you know, fuck the Cowboys, fuck this and that. And someone had a Brady jersey on, and she was like, "Damn, you're from Boston." He was like, "Yeah." She was like, "Fuck the Ravens," and he was like, "He was like, what?" She was like, "Yeah, man, fuck the Ravens." He's like, "All right, yeah, like whatever," and she's like, "Aren't they in Boston?" And he's like, "No, it's the Patriots." Like, and she's like, "Who the hell is it? Where are they at then?" And he's like, "Baltimore." And she was like, "Oh, yeah." It was, oh my God, the whole fucking car was cracking up. We're all like,
But yeah, shout out to FanDuel.
FanDuel helping us out.
But I mean,
it's pretty grim.
It's kind of sad. I will say.
Dude, I've been seeing people say, like, yeah, are they going to also, like, help fund SEPTA so kids can get to school on
what's going to be? No, they're going to
They said, fuck the kids. They were like, just this one day, we're going to help you out.
Yeah, just the degenerates that we went down at the game in the casino.
Yeah. I'm sure their fucking usership went up, though, that day because they got the, you know.
Dude, there were probably people on that train like, oh, FanDuel? Mm-hmm. Well, I never heard of that. I'm going to get into sports betting.
Yeah.
Dude, I guarantee you there were some people that, like, were like, oh, I'm going to check FanDuel out now. They're good people.
100%. People were in incredible debt. People were probably in incredible debt. After
dude,
that game.
No, I'm
sitting in that rain delay, be like, "Well, fuck it."
I almost guarantee you there were probably a handful of people that never gambled on sports in their life. They were like, "Oh, FanDuel, I'm going to check this out." Dude, they wanted their name attached to it for that.
I'd be curious to see
at the end of the day, they probably didn't make much money that day on it, but over time, like, people will be like, "Oh, I'm going to check FanDuel out."
I'm planting seeds.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Like Sirianni said.
Full
circle.
That's funny as hell, man. It is grim, though. Like, it's not good.
It's depressing.
Yeah, it's pretty soon going to be like Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook.
Brought to you by Delilah's. Yeah. How did you get to school? Well, the Delilah's bus picked me up.
Yeah, it's going to evolve beyond sportsbooks at some point pretty soon.
I got, send your kids to the Palantir Public School. Yeah, we're in the darks.
We're in dark times. And the sun's still up at least. When it gets like dark at 5 o'clock and nothing's running and you're all lost and afraid and naked, it's gonna be tough out there.
Yeah, dude. Like, yeah. I mean, hopefully something gets figured out by then. But I will say, man, this drive out to the Midwest, the rest of Pennsylvania is so ass, dude. Like, I don't have much hope for the rest of the state based on this drive.
Just break off and start our own.
Just cut it halfway through. Fuck it. Yeah. I'm never Erie doesn't be part of it.
Or just let
Ohio buy that bitch up.
Just let the Southeast keep their own tax revenue. That would solve this whole thing.
Well, the problem is they're holding up the whole budget, so like you can't get any funding for any other project
in the state.
So like SEPTA is kind of like the scapegoat of the funding holding up the budget, but like the other $6 billion, whatever it is that Shapiro put through, isn't There's no school funding. There's no arts program funding. There's no tourism funding. There's no anything else because they're hung up on this piece.
Yeah, it's been like, I mean, they were supposed to pass a budget like months ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's been well overdue. They
proposed a budget at the beginning of the year.
But, and we need to either secede or take a militia out to the rest of the rest of Pennsylvania.
Yeah, Philly should just become part of New Jersey, dude.
No.
Well, no, here's the deal, right?
The fuck?
So, Philly, South Jersey, and Wilmington become its own state.
Yeah, there you go.
Wilmington's
now, all right. Now you're talking.
Now, okay, I like a new state.
I'm not trying to be part of North Jersey. Absolutely not.
Puerto Rico's like, please.
They can be their own state.
If we make a new state, before Puerto Rico, we're going to be like, what the fuck do we have to do? Yeah,
Southeast PA, South Jersey, Wilmington, and Puerto Rico become
one state. Oh, yeah. Porto, Philadelphia.
We got a big Puerto Rican population in North Philly. Yeah, they can come on down. Yep. Yeah. They'll be our comrades overseas, or not overseas, but across water.
Kind of. I mean, you are technically overseas.
They're over water.
Yeah. It's a sea?
That's an ocean of sorts.
Although, why do they say overseas when they relate to, like, you know, when you're like, oh, yeah, someone got shipped out overseas when they're talking about going to war or whatever, but, like, it's still just an ocean. It's not a sea.
I think an ocean, technically isn't an ocean and a sea the same thing?
It's the Atlantic Ocean. There's the Black Sea, and there's...
Yeah, well, hold up. What is the difference between an ocean and a sea?
I think a sea is like a large lake.
It's usually just smaller area.
Okay.
That's,
overseas like, you know, is quicker than,
the Mediterranean
say,
Sea.
Overseas is quicker than, say, ocean. Than over oceans.
Yeah, it sounds weird.
Well, hey, that's all I'm saying. But then why not call it the Atlantic Sea?
I think sea...
Because it's too big.
Seas is like a general term for... I think you can basically use that for like any body of water. But then like there are certain bodies that are like officially called a sea.
I think we fucked up these terminology. Like I think we fucked up these words here, though.
There's probably some truth to that. The etymology is probably a little jacked up for sure. But
we fucked it up.
I mean, we didn't.
No, not we. Not I'm just saying fault. We, like we, just not
the what do you call it?
The human race.
No, what's it called? The something we.
The royal we.
The royal we. Yeah.
The wee. I got a pee.
Yeah, I could pee. We should probably wrap this up.
Yeah. Well, I think that'll just about do it for us here today, everybody.
Yeah.
4:25.
Yeah, it's the earliest pod ever. Thank you for listening and tuning in. Please leave us a 5-star rating and review over to the podcast. Give us a subscribe on YouTube.
Yo, email us.
Follow on TikTok, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Send us an email at citywidepod@gmail.com. And from all of us here at the Citywide, good morning, good afternoon, good night.
Here we go.
Fuck Dallas.